I was running.
Don't run anybody. We're going to open this up to about 20 minutes of questions. If you've got questions, I should make sure and advise you, we cannot answer questions or discuss any of the specific cases that you heard here today and that we participated in. But we will be happy to try and answer your other kinds of questions about the court or about the legal profession or about webcasting and so forth. So with that, we will... Okay, that would be a good idea. If you've got a question, we would probably appreciate it if you come up to the podium and ask the question. But don't let that frighten you.
Oh, it's fun.
That's right.
They're normally your honors. They're normally not this quiet.
I can only imagine. Why don't you, if you've got a question, why don't you raise your hand? Okay, good. We've got
a lot of cameras and no questions.
In the boat. And good morning, and who are you?
My name's Samara.
Okay.
My question is, did you enjoy law school, and would you recommend us students taking that path?
Did we enjoy law school? I expect you may have different answers from different members of the court. And would we recommend that young people become lawyers, right? Good. Anybody on the court?
For me, it was the first time I liked school. Mm-hmm. Law school was the very first time I actually enjoyed school. And I would recommend it for anybody, no matter what your interest is as an undergraduate. When I was in law school, we had people in my class who had music degrees. We had people who had theater degrees. We had people who had education degrees, science degrees, biology degrees, and went on to get a law degree. And I would suggest to you that whatever kind of problem you want to solve in your professional life, you will do it better if you understand the law and you understand the rules and can navigate them effectively. So it's a lot of fun.
Your question was, did we enjoy? And for me, I guess I enjoyed it maybe in the same way that you enjoy a really hard workout, that it's good for you, and there's parts of it that are enjoyable, and you're glad you did it. But when you're in the midst of it, it can be challenging, and that was certainly my experience. You have to read a lot. And you're sort of challenged to think in a way that you may not have been accustomed to thinking prior to going to law school. But in the end, very worthwhile, and maybe easier to say it's enjoyable when you're done than when you're in the midst of it.
When one is making a decision about whether that's right for that particular person to engage in seeking that kind of education, I think it's helpful to watch what lawyers do in real life, not just on an occasion like this, which is a highly structured, very formal, top of the pyramid sort of experience, but what lawyers do every day. And you can go to the county courthouse down the street from here and see from all sorts of things that lawyers do every day. And while I agree with my esteemed colleague that a legal education can be useful no matter what line of work a student desires to go into, one who aspires to be a lawyer should certainly not base that on what they see on television, because that's not realistic. One ought to look at what lawyers do day to day in real life and see if that's what the student wants to do.
The cases you saw today all involve litigation, which means they went to a court, there was a complaint or an answer filed, there was potentially a motion for summary judgment or a trial, things of that nature. Lawyers do a lot more than just what you saw here today. Lawyers do a lot more than litigation and go into the courtroom to try cases. Lawyers help draft contracts between parties and contracts between businesses. Lawyers draft wills to help transfer your assets to your children. Lawyers do all sorts of things that assist society. There's lawyers in our legislature that have not practiced litigation, but they have a law background. And they use that to draft, help draft the laws that they think are appropriate. So there's lots of things you can do with a law degree that has that's totally different than what you saw today. So keep that in mind. But the law is a very challenging and interesting area to go into. And I would suggest if you have any interest in doing it, what you learn in your business law class, what you learned today, should get you excited about going in that direction.
Very good.
Thank you.
Yes, thank you so much. Do we have another question?
Oh, now we got it.
Good morning.
Good morning.
You are?
Corbin. So I have two questions. First, how long does it take for like a case to normally like settle to find your final verdict on it?
How long does it take for
like once
case
it gets to you guys? Yeah.
To get to us, essentially. Okay. Anybody want to jump in there? Well, the cases vary a lot. Mm-hmm. So you can have some cases that get to us fairly quickly, some cases that take a whole long time in the trial court. For whatever reason, and we have some cases that sort of come back to us, particularly in the criminal area, over and over again, that can literally sort of resurrect themselves in various forms over a period of years. So we, as a sort of policy matter, I think most of us feel that justice delayed is justice denied. So we have rules about how quickly the trial court should be getting to their cases and coming to some finality there. And then we try to handle the cases as quickly as possible here. Some cases are actually given priority, particularly criminal cases are given priority here. Workers' compensation cases are given priority, and cases involving children in the courts are given some priority, so we try to get to those as quickly as possible.
Once in a while, the legislature will tell us to advance cases, for example, in appeals in taxes and property taxes, but you can see from the list that the chief has recited that when the cases come to us, there's a priority to given to those cases with suggesting there's a human dimension that's critical, and I don't mean to demean it as opposed to money only. So we want to deal with the custody cases quickly, we want to deal with the criminal cases and so forth.
And it also depends upon how broadly you want to look at the process as to how long it takes. To the extent that the process begins when a party desires to appeal, the first thing that happens is that there would be a record prepared from the trial court. There was a trial, for example. It may be a complete transcript of all the questions and answers and arguments and everything that was said in front of the trial court. That takes some time. Then the lawyers have an opportunity to file written briefs. The party that's appealing files first and has to assign what they think went wrong in the proceedings below, and then the other side gets a chance to respond in writing, and then the first side gets a chance to reply to what the other said, and if there are cross appeals, there's even more process built into the written arguments, and only then, after the written arguments have all been finished and scheduling has occurred, does it get to where we are today, which is oral arguments on the cases in front of us. And even after today, there's more of the process that happens where we go back and discuss the case. An author judge who's assigned to the case drafts an opinion, circulates the opinion. There may be disagreements, and opinions go back and forth. If you took all of the cases and you averaged that entire process, how long from beginning to when our opinions would come out, probably it would be on average about 1 year.
All right. And then my second question, is there certain cases that, like, I know, like, if you're personally attached, you have to adjure yourself, but there are certain cases that, like, you would adjure yourself from just the certain issues?
Are there certain cases that we recuse ourselves on?
Yeah.
Justice Frydenberg?
Yes. I am the person who ends up recusing more often than my colleagues, and the reason is that I came from the Attorney General's office before I became a county court judge and then came to this bench. And because of that, the team that I was a part of, we handled a great deal, a large number of cases. And a lot of those defendants, when they say the cases resurrect themselves, come back before us again. So I have to recuse myself from any of those cases where I was involved with, because it would be completely unfair for that defendant to look down, look up and see me sitting here when they knew or didn't know that I was one of their people on the case against them previously. So situations like that, you know, recusals are correct. You need to remove yourself from the situation. Other situations are where, you know, if you have a close friend who is involved in anything that could cause the appearance of impropriety, where someone would look at you and say, you know, it's just not fair that you're hearing this case, is a reason why you remove yourself from it. Because the integrity of the system is more important than me setting on one case. Mm-hmm.
But in terms of what you really asked, which is, are there just issues? I'd say by and large, the answer is no. Mm-hmm. When you take on this responsibility, you agree that you're going to follow the law, well, you're going to follow the Constitution, the United States, the Constitution of the state of Nebraska, the laws of Congress, to the extent they apply in the state, and the laws of the Nebraska unicameral. And by the time all of that is taken into account, there is very little room for individual opinions.
All right. Thank you.
Thank you very much. We've got time. I apologize for just one more, I think.
My name is Lily Mack, and I would like to know, how do you handle yourself emotionally when listening to people? And additionally, if you do start to feel an emotional reaction, how do you remain an objective in a case?
Very good. How do we handle ourselves emotionally and remain objective in a case? Mm-hmm. Thank you very much. Anybody?
What did you see from us this morning?
I saw a few, like, facial reactions, like, you know, kind of like that, but otherwise, it seemed like you guys knew what to do. I mean, obviously, but you know what I mean.
Yes. Well, I think we all understand that lawyers are faced with the facts of a case that they acquire. They don't get to pick, many times are not allowed to pick the cases that they are required to appear on. And consequently, they come to us and they make arguments that they know have varying degrees of strength. And we understand that as well. And I suspect that there is, we would be perhaps unhappy with a lawyer who makes an argument, in fact, it would be against the rules, to make an argument that he or she knows to have no basis in the law or the facts. Sometimes it gets a little close as to whether it's approaching that line. And so it's a challenge sometimes for us to watch an argument and to judge where it's falling along that spectrum. In the most challenging cases are where there are good arguments on both sides. And then, of course, you have to come down to resolve what the law demands based on the facts that have been presented, and it's a challenge.
I think it's important to have a poker face, so to speak. We don't want our emotions to sway the argument. We want the litigants to have an opportunity to make the argument they think is their best argument to win their case. And it's important that we may ask questions to challenge their argument, to maybe direct them to something in the record that's contradictory to what they said. But it's for us not to have a big sigh when we think they said something that we just think is ludicrous. That's not appropriate either. We are to be fair and impartial. For our decisions to have credibility and to be believed and trusted by the public, then you have to, as a litigant, to be able to believe that we listened to you. We heard what you had to say. We read what you wrote. We reviewed the facts of the case. We reviewed the law. And we made a determination based upon all those factors. And if we were up here oohing and aahing or sighing, it wouldn't be appropriate. Then we would not be seen as credible. So we try very hard. We may have strong feelings of how we think the case should be decided based on all those factors. But it's not really appropriate for us to say that until the time is right. And that's after we've heard of all the arguments, reviewed all the information, and then written an opinion that explains what our decision is and how we reached it. And at that point, we try to do that respectfully. We don't want to be snarky. We don't want to denigrate one of the attorneys or the parties if we don't have to. We try to, because our case law, that decision doesn't necessarily just impact that group, the litigants to that action. It's going to be read by people for years and years into the future. I mean, other cases will be basing their cases on what we've said in the past. So it's important that we look credible. We look like we are sincere. We appropriately considered everything we should have considered. So having a poker face and being a trial judge, a lot of us were trial judges before, we sat through lots of trials, hours upon hours of we may think, and this case is going nowhere, or the lawyer doesn't have a grasp of the law or the evidence. But you just don't say those things during the trial. You sit patiently. You'll be given your opportunity when it's all done as the judge or as the justice here to say those things. But again, when we do say it, we try to be very respectful and keep those things in mind.
You know, I would say that you all are lucky you came to this courtroom, because we're a hot bench. We ask a lot of questions. And there are other appellate courts where the justices are rather stony-faced and don't ask questions. And it may not be because they're not prepared. It's just it's a style thing. But I would say on this court, we're respectful of the lawyers. Public speaking can make people nervous. We try to respect their humanity, right? But nevertheless, stick to the issues. So this court, I think, has a balance where we try to be respectful, you know, but not humorless.
Thank you.
Thank you very much.
Justices, do you have a moment for a yearbook photo with the students?
Yes, we can do that. But before we do that, I wish we could take more questions, but none of us have a lot of time. So I want to do some special thank yous, first of all, to your instructor, Ms. Olson. Do you want to stand? Yes, please. And thank you very much. And I want to say that we very much want Lincoln Public Schools to bring classes here to us, and not just Lincoln Public Schools, but the private schools in the city too. So please give a shout out to this experience to your other teachers around the city. That would be great. I also want to give a special thanks to Ian Hunsberger, our guest bailiff of the day. Thank you very much, Ian. With that, we will do a photo with you. I'm not sure how you want to do this.
We'll just have the students come in front of the bench for us.
Okay.
Ian, you can stand where you are.
We can tell this was not your first year teaching.
No, I've been teaching for quite, in fact, it's kind of funny how Mr. Long, who are the university aides, I used to be a legal secretary in his firm. Oh, wow. When they said Steve Long, I'm like, who the hell?
What is so the
come on in.
That's fine.